So we have asked the question, what are we for? Most of us want to find a purpose and a place in life. We want to know that our lives are meaningful, that we're contributing something to the particular world in which we live and also hopefully to the wider world. But because we are people and not gadgets, answering that question can be more complex and more challenging. We're not here for one simple functional purpose. Life is multifaceted and multi-layered. We want to know that all of the parts of our lives have meaning and purpose. I am more than my job or my profession. I am more than just a family member. I am more than simply the sum of my gifts and abilities. But also this question about what are we for? Because we are people, that is forever changing. I'm a person. I am always changing. I'm growing. I am maturing. I'm learning. I'm getting older and so diminishing in some ways as well. But more than that, the people around me are changing. The world around me is changing. So where I fit in this world is having to change all of the time. We are constantly having to re-evaluate where we fit in the world, what we're here for, what we're meant to be doing with our lives. And often these decisions are forced on us by events over which we have little control. Perhaps redundancy, perhaps tragedy or relationship breakdown or aging. Or even perhaps the other end of the spectrum, the opportunity of a new job, the development of a new relationship, the joy of becoming a parent or grandparent, a serendipitous encounter that changes our life. So this morning I want to explore, what does it mean for us to follow our calling? What does it mean for us to know what it is to be God's people in the world right here and now? And I'm making two unashamed assumptions in expressing this way. Not just what are we for, but what are we called or who are we called to be? First of all, I'm assuming that we are not on our own in having to make sense of our lives. We don't have to carve out a grand purpose for our lives on our own. I am assuming that we are engaged in this task in response to God. God has placed his call and claim upon our lives, and it's in response to that that we live our lives. We have purpose because God graciously gives us purpose. Now, part of this is trying to discern what God's general call and claim on each of our lives is. He's made us as human beings. He's given us a purpose in creation as human beings. And that purpose is rich and extends to all areas of human life. But there is a common call and a claim placed upon all of us because God has made this world and human beings with a loving purpose. And he longs for us to find that place within his purpose. But the second assumption that I'm making is that God has a particular call on each of our lives. God doesn't just have a general purpose for all human beings. I'm making the assumption that God has a purpose for each of our lives as individuals. He's some thoughts about how we as individuals fit into his grand purposes. Now, there can be a tendency within the church and indeed outside the church to narrow down the use of the idea of calling to just a few people and a few ways of living in this world. For someone who's going to be a minister or a missionary within the church, we would always expect them to use the language of being called by God. That sense of calling doesn't need to come in a dramatic experience, but we would expect somebody who's going to be a missionary or a minister to respond in some way to the prompting of God, and not just to go to a careers fair and think, oh yeah, I think I'd quite like to do that. We expect somebody to have some sense of calling. Even in the secular world, you hear the phrase of someone going into one of the caring professions. Of course, that's a vocation, isn't it? And of course, vocation is another way of saying that's a calling. It's something that you're called to. Now, in a secular sense, it probably means some kind of nebulous inner prompting that fits you to do that kind of work. But all of this suggests that it's only certain kinds of life choices that are about call. What I want to suggest is that all of our lives, for all of us, are always responding to a call of God to be who he wants us to be. You see, I don't think God is as narrow-minded as only having a call on those who are going to be ministers or missionaries or nurses or in the caring professions. I think God is interested, concerned about what's going on the factory floor, on the construction site, in the accountant's office, in the supermarket. For those who are unable to work as he is in what's going on in the work of a minister, a nurse, or a missionary. I believe that God is calling, shaping, and reshaping constantly all of our lives continually. And that means that we need to be constantly alert to what it means in this period of my life to be following God's calling. What does it mean for me to be the person that God wants me to be now? And that may be constantly evolving. Now, I also want to say that I think God treats us as adults and grown-ups. By which I mean, I think he involves us in creating meaning and purpose in our lives. Living with God is not some kind of painting by numbers exercise where we have to kind of work out the number that God has put on this bit of our life and we simply find the right color and we paint it. I think God wants to make something with our lives by releasing our creativity to work alongside his creativity in weaving his purposes in the world. But it still means that he has a call on our lives. It's not just one or two people here and there who are responding to God's call. It's all of us, all of the time, who need to find our place now in God's purposes. So let's look at this passage from Isaiah 42, which we read earlier, and discover some of the things that it might say to us about God's call, because this is a passage about appointment and call. Verse 1, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. Verse 6, I the Lord have called you in righteousness. One of the debates which continues about this passage is who Isaiah had in mind when he spoke about the servant. Was it an individual or was it the whole people of God? And you can read it in both ways. Parts of the passage seem to relate to the calling of a particular individual for a particular time and place. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets, it says. Now, this sounds like a particular calling for a particular person at a particular time. But other portions seem to best fit the whole nation. I will make you to be a covenant for the people and light for the Gentiles. This isn't a call for a particular time and place. This is a call on God's people wherever they are and whoever they are. And of course, reading this passage as a Christian community, we cannot but see Jesus as exemplifying this way of life in the call of God on his life. The voice of God at Jesus' baptism, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased," seems to echo the opening words addressed to the servant. "Here is my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him." But what can we glean from this passage about what it might mean to follow God's calling on our lives? The first thing I want to say is that God calls us in small places to work for big things. God calls us in small places to work for big things. Whatever the particular surroundings and circumstances of our lives, whatever our abilities or opportunities, whatever restrictions we face in life, God's call on our lives forces us to lift our faces to see a new horizon for where God wants us to be. Look at the big picture that his servant is called to work for. He will bring justice to the nations, verse 1. Verses 3 and 4, in faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. And then verses 6 and 7, I will make you a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to free captives from prison. Wherever we are, our lives come under the call of God to serve these big purposes of God in our lives. To work for God's justice in our world. To be light shining in the darkness. To be a sign of God's covenant promises to his world for all people. And that means learning how our lives are to be lived in that way in the particular surroundings where we are. And all of those questions will come in upon us in whatever small place we work and live, because they are always impinging on us. Questions of justice and not questions of what happens at the highest level of power. They're not questions of what is happening in sub-Saharan Africa or the poor places of our world. Questions of justice touch us right where we are. They're questions of what we buy and how we live, about how we use our money. It's questions about how we deal with other people around us. Questions of justice touch upon us in the small places of our world. Being light in darkness doesn't mean to say that we've got to be big beaming spotlights in this world. It's about being small candles of light in the small places where we are. God calls us in small places to work for big things. Secondly, God calls us to learn his counterintuitive ways in responding to his call and being the people he wants us to be. God often expects us to live differently in this world because he has called us. He has this huge agenda for the servant in terms of working for justice and not giving up for justice in the world. But he says of this servant, he will not cry out or shout in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Now he's got this big agenda, but he's to do it gently and calmly. This particular servant is called to make a difference, but not to go about it with a fanfare of trumpets or forcing his way on others. There's a gentleness, a care for those he's among. No potential is to be despised or broken. And we see Jesus working in a counterintuitive way throughout his ministry, and it's epitomized in his baptism. When Jesus comes for baptism, John instinctively feels this is wrong. Jesus doesn't need my water baptism. John thinks he needs Jesus' spirit baptism. And of course he does. But Jesus knew the counterintuitive ways of God, that if he was going to fulfill what God wanted of him, he needed to take the humble step of being baptized, walk the counterintuitive path. Sometimes it will mean not fully understanding how God is using us in this world, because he is counterintuitive. Sometimes we will not always be exactly sure why we are, where we are, doing what we're being asked to do at this particular time, because we will not see the whole picture. And part of that picture may just be because this is all counterintuitive and we have to entrust ourselves to God. But then, thirdly, what we learn from this passage is that when we respond to God's call, our focus should not be on ourselves and what we can do and what opportunities we have and what gifts we have. Our focus should always be on God. This passage, which is all about the servant and what the servant is being called to do, barely focuses on the servant's abilities. The passage is all about God, and the servant is able to work because the servant is called to focus on God. Notice all of these statements that God says in calling. I will uphold you. You are my delight. I will put my spirit on my servant. I have called you. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. I will make you to be the people I want you to be. All of this is made possible not because of what we do, but because we place our lives and ourselves in God's hand, and it is what God is able to do in us and through us. He will uphold us. He takes delight in us. He puts his spirit on us. He has called us and will continue to call us. He will take hold of our hand and be there with us. He will keep us and protect us. And he it is who will make us to be the people we are called to be. Follow your calling. God has called us all together to be his people, light in the darkness. But God has called each one of us to discover where God is calling us to be right now in this period of our lives, to be his people. He has called us. Will you follow?